John Major, when he was the Prime Minister, he had that phrase, back to basics. And when I observe us as a Pentecostal church, I just wonder how many of us really know the basics of our Christian discipline, of the word, of prayer, of living in the spirit, of giving. Last week it was Tao who set the foundation when he talked about developing faith, the necessity of knowing the word and standing in the word, allowing the word of God to develop you. And today I want us to just look at building our lives on the Word of God. We're going to center our thoughts on 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 12, right through to chapter 4, verse 4. So I'll give you a moment to find that in your PDAs or whatever. Your iPhones, your tablets, the Word of God. Amen, Tao. Bless God. Anything else? See, you can see the Word by different mediums now, can't you? Part of my testimony when I became a Christian, before I became a Christian, I did not make the most of my education. I won't say that I couldn't read. I could read, but I didn't read. Does that make sense? I enjoyed the golf course. If I were to do anything differently, I would do it differently if you got another chance. But the moment I became a Christian, God put an appetite in my heart to study, to read, and to feed myself upon the Word. It was amazing transformation, because before I would never lift a book, I would lift a golf club, but now all I wanted to do was study and to feed and to know the Word of God. I would have gone to a Bible study with my pastor, and you know, back in Ireland, you were expected to give 1.5 hours Bible study as a minister on a Wednesday night and speak maybe 3 times on a Sunday. I get it easy today. I do. 1.5 hours my pastor would teach and preach on a Wednesday night. I would go home, and from 10 o'clock right through to 2 in the morning, I would study the Word to make sure what he said was true. The Bible says we are to do that. You know, there were a group of people who did that in Acts. So it fed me. And then at 7 o'clock, I was up to do a hard day of physical work. That was my routine. That was my discipline. It's easy in your Christian life to go on and think that you don't need those disciplines. And I'm speaking to those of you who may be a Christian 10, 20, 30 years. You need those disciplines today more than you did at the very beginning. Because if you slack in the discipline of reading and studying the Word, you will just go off course. You'll go off course. You see, I'm a great believer when God does a work of grace in your heart, He will give you an appetite for the right things. Being a Christian is not just a matter of believing and belonging, it's a matter of having an appetite from God to do the right things. Amen. It's a work of grace. How do you know God's done something? You will know when God has done a work of grace in your heart. And so I want to start today just on loving the Word. I'm going to challenge you today about your systematic study and reading of the Word of God and how to get the most out of that. I hope that you will be challenged and stirred to embrace the disciplines in your Christian life, to be a different person, to set goals, to grow spiritually, to see Christ being formed in you, to have a different attitude, to have a different behavior. Amen. That's our goal, to grow in the Lord. Here's what Paul said to young Timothy. He said, yes, verse 12, chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. He said, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Did I read that correctly? Huh? That's maybe why we're not suffering persecution, is because we don't desire to live godly. Now, persecution can come in many different ways. And I can assure you, when you desire to live godly and follow God and want God to do something in your life, you are going to face persecution from the enemy. Mm-hmm. I know many Christians, probably 75% of those who claim to be Christian around the world, are facing physical persecution. Many are in prison. Many today will be martyred because they will not deny Jesus. But persecution will come to all of us if we desire to live a godly life. In verse 13 he says, "But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse." I want you to listen very carefully, friends. What I believe is happening in today's church, around Britain, around Europe, around many nations. Because I believe that we're living in the last days, and one of the signs of living in the last days is that the love of many will wax cold. Many will be disobedient to their parents. There will be lawlessness. And I believe that one of the signs in the last days, that man will no longer desire to find pleasure in God, but pleasure in other things. And one of the signs in living in the last days is that we desire to walk away from the truth, to follow, and to have itching ears, just to feel comfortable, but not know sound doctrine. Okay, so let me continue. Evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But Paul says to Timothy, "But you must continue." Continue in what? "You must continue in the things which you have learnt and being assured of knowing from whom you have learnt them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures." You see, Timothy had the privilege of being brought up with a godly mother and a godly grandmother, Lewis and Eunice, who encouraged him. Can I just say, for those of you who are mothers and grandmothers, you have an opportunity and a privilege to train and to instill the Word of God into your family. Come on, I need to hear a few amens. What a privilege. Don't leave it to the Sunday school teachers here on a Sunday. It is your responsibility to teach them the Word of God, to instill in them in an early age the Word of God. And Timothy was brought up in a godly home whose mother and grandmother taught him the Word of God. You've learned, Timothy. You know a different way. Timothy, keep going. Continue. Don't drift. Don't go aside. Yes, there will be those who will teach false doctrine, but you know a different way because you've learned from a child the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul says, "I charge you, Timothy, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." Timothy, don't neglect it. One thing that has not left me, I love preaching the word. I love preaching the word. There's something different about preaching and teaching. Preach it. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, and with long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, Timothy, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. fulfill your ministry. What a word to us preachers and teachers. What a word to all of us. To endure sound doctrine, not to be tossed to and fro. The Prophet Muhammad, the founder of Islam, was so impressed by Judaism and those who followed Christianity, he decided that he would copy them. Yes, because Islam started around about 600 AD. He was so influenced by people of the book, Jews and Christians. In his society, there was disorder. There were many tribal groups, but they weren't united. One thing he did do, he united these tribal groups around one book called the Quran. But he was influenced by people of the book. Who were the people of the book? Christians, Jews, who ordered their lives upon Holy Scriptures, who lived their lives according to the Word of God. And I want to challenge you, for I believe that many Christians today in the 21st century can no longer be called people of the book. A survey revealed recently that 57% of those who claim to be Christian said they seldom read the Bible. You see, friend, that is a sad statistic. Because if you're going to grow and develop in faith, as Theo mentioned last week, and I encourage you to listen to that, if you're going to grow and be serious with God, you need to be a person of the book. You need to feed upon the Word. You need to know how the Spirit will take the Word and feed your soul. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? By the Word of God. We need to become people of the book. And that is sad to hear that statistic. 57% of those who claim to be born again say they seldom read the Word of God. How can you, as a believer, born again, Spirit-filled, how can you expect to grow if you don't know the daily discipline of reading, studying, taking in the Word of God? And we today, in the 21st century, need to strengthen our grip upon the Word of God. Holding on to the Word in the face of relativism, where many are saying there is no such a thing as absolute truth. Truth is how you see it. Truth is what you make it. It's how you feel. It doesn't really matter. Truth is different to you as it is to me. Can I say today, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The personification of truth is found in the person of Jesus. He is absolute truth. There is no such a thing as relativism in that it's what's relative to you is different to me. No. We must stand and govern our lives according to the Word of God. I'm amazed how some in today's society no longer see the Bible as their authority in how to live and how to behave. Instead of living by faith in God's Word, we allow our emotions, we allow our culture to decide the way of our life. It was John Piper who said, we are people of the book. We know God through the book. We meet Christ in the book. We see the cross in the book. We have tasted the divine majesty of the Word, and we are persuaded that the book is God's inspired, infallible, written revelation to us. Therefore, what the Bible teaches matters. Amen. What the Bible teaches matters. I cannot embrace relativism where there is no absolute truth. If it feels okay, it must be good. It's okay. And even in Christian culture, the foundation of acceptance is love. well, let's just love one another. Let's just embrace you. Let's just approve and accept of what you do and what you believe and what you think. It doesn't really matter as long as there is love. No, friends, the foundation of our fellowship together is truth. And out of truth should flow love for one another. Great difference between acceptance and approval. I will accept you, but I may not approve of all that you say and all that you do. As a pastor, I shouldn't be surprised to hear today the acceptance in some Christian circles of same-sex marriage. I shouldn't be surprised as a pastor today in the 21st century that there are those in the church who no longer believe in the doctrine of hell and judgment, but now embracing ultimate reconciliation, annihilation. Friends, listen to the word. Are you listening? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they having itching ears. If you want me to itch your ear and just to give you nice things, soft things, comfortable things to hear, you better leave immediately. Because we're not that kind of church, are we? We never have been. We will tell you the truth in love. We will challenge you. If your lifestyle is going off, we will challenge you to bring you back on course. Amen. But if you want a pastor to say nice little things, to itch your ear, friend, you better leave immediately, because that will not happen at All Nations. We will endure sound doctrine, amen. We'll embrace the Word of God. We will desire to feed upon the Word. We will desire to see that Word being manifested in our lives to change us, to transform us, amen, that Christ be glorified. That's what we're about, to see Christ being formed in us. If there is ever a day we need to get back to the Word of God, believing in the inspiration of the Word, believing in the authority of the Bible, it is today. The Bible is our authority in how we live and in what we believe. Today, many no longer take His Word seriously. Many today do no longer see the necessity of having the Word as a guide for our lives. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have a systematic reading program of reading the Word of God daily? I'm not going to ask for hands. I know, even as a pastor, and I'm called to read the Word. I'm called to discipline myself. I know that my life can be so busy doing other things that I have missed and neglected feeding myself with the Word, and I need to discipline myself. And if I need that discipline, how much more do you, in your busy life, need the discipline of God's Word? Some years ago, many of you in the church, you picked up a book called Cover to Cover. And many of you, I know there's a long time since we did it, how many of you are still around and you did Cover to Cover? Yes, a number of you. Now, I recommend this program. It's from Selwyn Hughes, who's now in glory. A terrific program, Cover to Cover. It's good, disciplined Bible reading. And I think this book goes for about £12-14. But see Ken Stent. There are other materials. Ken's got details. This one here is a yearly program. There's one for 60 days. It'll give you a taster. I highly recommend this. It's a discipline. You say, well, 12 pounds is a lot of money. No, it's not. How much money would you spend in papers reading bad news? Spend a bit of money in good news, amen? I highly recommend this. Please see Ken. This is Ken's copy. It's up here in case it's nicked. It won't be nicked. Church, there's a famine today in the land for the Word of God. Today, there are those who claim to be born again and spirit-filled, and they will not endure sound doctrine. They want to connect with the culture around them. They want to win others for the Lord, which is good and a good desire, but they compromise the message of the gospel in doing so. According to their own desires, because they have itching ears. And Paul, in chapter 3 here in Timothy, reminds Timothy of the suffering for Christ. He reminds him also that evil men and imposters will get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Timothy, you must continue. Don't go down that road. Don't go down that route of being deceived. In other words, Timothy, it's better to be persecuted for godliness than to have fun with the devil and be duped. Amen. Timothy, what did you learn? Continue in that. Be steadfast. Stand on the truth of the Word of God. Don't leave these truths. Don't ignore the Word. Don't neglect the Word. If you leave the Word, friend, you will end up being conformed to the world. You end up being influenced by the culture around you. God calls for holy passion. For us, as God's called, elect, the ecclesia, the church of God, with the authority of Christ, to have an influence on our culture, not to be shaped by our culture. And one of the keys to unlocking the door to intimacy with God is a revelation and a knowledge of who He is. How do we know Him? How do we see Him? Listen to what Paul says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. All Scripture. All Scripture is breathed upon. You see, friend, this book before me today, and I love those tablets and phones and I use them, but you know what I'm discovering? I want to get into the physical handling the Word. Amen. Amen. It's like you know, the Kindles and downloading books, although mine's playing up. I like to write little notes. I like to put, oh, that'd be a good sermon, and write on. I can't do that with a Kindle. You can't read in my notes. That's my, don't you? Bless you, my son. He needs revelation. He can't read my notes. Bless God. And so this text before us is more than just text. It's God breathed upon. Do you understand that? Did you get what I said there? You see, in 2 Peter, we read that godly men were moved and breathed upon by the Holy Spirit, and they produced this text. Amen. And it's not just a text. This does not just contain God's Word. It is God's Word. It is inspired. The inspiration of the Holy Spirit came upon holy men, and they breathed upon them to inspire them to write what they wrote, whether it be Moses, the prophets, or Paul, Peter, John. They were breathed upon by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can I just say, and I'm not getting into it now, that when God inspires you to bring a word of prophecy, it is not the same level of inspiration as what these men received. In other words, prophecy is not equal to the Word of God. prophecy must always be judged by those in authority. And prophecy must always be judged according to the Word of God. Amen. We believe in prophecy, don't we? But if you get people going around saying, well, this is God's Word and this is God's truth, regardless, forget about it. It must be in submission. And certainly, it must be in line with God's Word. But these holy men, they had a different level of inspiration. And it produced the Word of God. All Scripture. Did you get it? All Scripture. So you can't pick out the little bits that you like and the little bits you don't like. All Scripture is inspired by God. Holy men who were moved by God. This Word is powerful. This Word can create, can transform lives. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are what? Life. Life. Come on, church. Life. So why do we ignore it? Why do we not discipline ourselves even to memorize the Word of God? Memory. Memorize. I know as I get older, it's harder, but it's a discipline to memorize the Word of God. Don't you laugh, because you're catching up. You see, God's Word creates. How does God make things? Let me ask you. How does He make things? He makes things by speaking. In creation, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And as a believer in Christ, we need to understand the power of His creative Word. Because when God gives me a rhema to stand upon, and when I make a confession with that, when it comes from God, it is powerful. Amen. It creates. Because not only is it a matter of believing, but I confess with my mouth that which I believe. I know you can take that to an extreme, but we don't hear at all nations. Amen? Listen, by faith we understand that the worlds were formed high by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And then we see that the Word upholds all things. Upholding all things by the word of His power. Whew, just imagine for a moment. What does that mean? Not only does He uphold my life and keep me. You think you're going to be lost. You're going to be, you know, you're going astray. No, God holds you. God keeps you. God keeps you safe. He protects you. But think about it. Creation all around us. The stars, the planets. Everything God upholds by the word of His power. Amen. Amen. What a thought. Glory to God. The Word is powerful. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. The Word of God, it sustains. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I want you to understand, friends, the difference between rhema and logos, and I may develop that in a moment, but just to say that rhema is God's spoken specific word that comes by the Spirit of God to your heart. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. And the word there is rhema. You see, God is sending His word all the time, to all of us. In this room, we have many electric waves, amen? This is why we can put that thing up, that projector on. We can If we've got a monitor, we could even put a TV on, a radio on. Don't try it on your phones, because you know in your phones there's waves all around, amen? Can I just say that God's word is going out continually, amen? All the time, all the time. And how do I connect? How do I receive the word? How? By being still and allowing the Spirit to bring that word into my spirit. God's word is alive, amen? It goes out continually from his throne. And it is our guide. Your word is a light unto my path. A light. A light. If we are to be transformed by the word of God, to become more Christ-like in our values and our behavior, you need to be serious in your discipline of handling God's word. You need to get into God's word and allow God's word to get into you. Someone said that the greatest need of the church is to see and discover the glory of who God is. Seeing the heart, the mind, the character of God will cure our compromise, our instability, and motivate us to righteousness and a holy passion. God gave us the word, not just to increase our Bible knowledge, but to change our lives. And when you get into the word, it will change you. It will transform you from the inside out. A father was approached by a small son who told him proudly, "I know what the Bible means, Dad." His father smiled and replied, "What do you mean, you know what the Bible means?" The son replied, I really do know." "Okay," said the father. "So what does the Bible mean?" "That's easy, Daddy. It stands for basic information before leaving earth." Bible. Basic information before leaving earth. In Proverbs chapter 4, we read, "He taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth.' Why? Because she's your life, health. Do not forget, now turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. Because she will preserve you. Love her, she will keep you. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go, keep her, for she is your life. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." Friends, let me say again, it's basic, but it's true. Take firm hold of instruction. Take firm hold of God's word, because it's your life. It's your health. You need it. Do not let go. The Bible, we see, is useful for four things. And here, in 2 Timothy, Paul reminds us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction. The Bible is profitable for doctrine, showing us what to believe. So you can't go wayward in your view concerning marriage. Amen? You cannot go wayward concerning your view on same-sex relationships, because the Bible makes it quite clear in Old and New Testament on same-sex relationships. You cannot go wrong on your belief concerning eternal judgment and hell, because the Bible makes it quite clear concerning the afterlife. Amen? So the Bible is our inspiration to teach us doctrine, showing us what to believe. You just can't make it up. You just can't think, well, let's change this to make ourselves more acceptable in culture. You can't make it up. It must come from the Word. And then, sorry, let me go back. For reproof, showing us where we do wrong. The Bible is our compass. It's our highway code. You cannot afford to be governed by the spirit of the age, by relativism. The Word is relevant today for us as it was in the first century. And then correction, guiding us back to the right path. See, God will allow the Word to bring us back to the path that's right for us. And then finally, instruction, showing us how to live as believers. The Bible is there to renew our thinking, to bring us back to the right path. It will challenge us in the direction we are going. You see, the Bible is not just text. It is the breath of God. It is truth that will transform our lives. It is absolute. Amen. Open your heart, friend, to the Word, to the Spirit. I can read the text and not encounter truth. I need the Spirit of God to bring an impartation and a revelation of His Word to my heart. Amen. Not just to my mind, but to my heart. Let me explain. We do know, you've heard me talk about it before and teach it, there are two Greek words for the word Word. The word logos and the word rhema. The logos is the complete revelation of God's Word from cover to cover. Amen. In fact, Jesus is the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word dwelt amongst us. But the other Greek word is the word rhema. And the word rhema is a very interesting word. It means sayings breathed upon by the Spirit of God. And what happens is this. The Spirit of God will take the rhema, He will take the Logos of the Word and make it rhema. He will breathe upon it specifically for me at a specific place and occasion in my life. And so let me explain this. You need to read Logos. Maybe you say, well, I read the Word, but I'm not getting much out of it. Develop your relationship with God and allow the Holy Spirit to bring the Word to your heart. Many days I just read Logos, amen, but some days God gives me a rhema. You understand? I'm sure we've all had those moments when God hit you with a word. Boy, they're precious, aren't they? What do I do when I get those? I write them down. I write specifically what God has said. God gave me word 15 years ago. I've written it down. I know exactly what God said on that Thursday. Or no, it was a Wednesday. God spoke specifically to me. Whew, it was a rhema. It built me up. It keeps me today. The call of God is upon my life, but what keeps me in the call is the Word that God speaks to me. Not my feelings, not my emotions, but what God has spoken to me. God speaks many words, and He brings the Logos, I read it. It challenges my mind. But some days I get a rhema. A rhema. And the rhema of God's Word is the impartation of His Word to my heart. It is a revelation of His Word to my heart. And that is why it is important as a believer that you walk and are filled with the Holy Spirit, allowing the Spirit of God to bring the Word, the Rhema, to your heart. Let me just say, head brings the information, which is the Logos. But with the heart, there is an impartation of truth, which is the rhema. You can sit and read the Word, hear the Word being preached, and just receive information, which is good, and it can be challenging, but it won't transform you unless it moves from your head to your heart. Listen, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. In all those key verses concerning word, it is translated rhema, not logos. You see, faith doesn't come just by reading the word. Faith comes by the Spirit of God imparting the word to your heart. Big difference. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema, not logos, but every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We are told to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. Not logos, but the rhema of God. So you see the importance and the necessity of developing a relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, where He makes the logos a rhema, where there's an impartation of truth to our heart. Amen. You see, you can study the Bible. I know people, they know this Bible better than I, but their lives, they're ungodly. Well, why? How can that be? It's because it's all up here, but not in here. Not in here. And you need to develop your relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. Almost finished. Let the Word be the guiding principle of your life. Don't be influenced by the trends of today's society. Do not dance to the tune that society and culture sets for you. Embrace the Word. Be like young Timothy, where Paul said, continue in the Word. Continue in what you have learned. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Trust your Bible. Why? Because it's dependable. It's a proven weapon. What did Jesus take and use in his temptations? Satan, it is written. It is written. It is dependable. It is a proven weapon. The Word of God is not only dependable, it is durable. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word will never pass away. Not only it is a proven weapon, it's a perfect weapon. And thank God, it's a powerful weapon. You see, the devil does not flee from the presence of the Word of God in my mind. He doesn't flee just when I read the Logos. He flees when I resist him with the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. And as a Christian, I need to discipline myself to read the Logos to understand the rhema. So when I come into conflict and opposition with my emotions and the devil, who might suggest otherwise to me, what I need is to take the rhema of God and slay him, amen. Slay him, Satan, you are under my feet. I won't accept that because your word to me says different. God's word says different. Why should I be governed by the tactics and the methods of the devil? Why should I be governed by my emotions that will be up one day and down the next? I need to govern my life by the rhema of the Word of God. Finally, here's some advice on reading the Bible. Be sensitive to the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad I've spelt holy right there, because in my notes it's spelt differently. That's how fast I was going. That's why he can't read my notes. You see, who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Bible? The Holy Spirit. So be sensitive to the person who wrote the Bible. He's alive. The Word's alive. We need the Word and the Spirit to work together to build us up. Amen? As someone said, too much word, you dry up. Too much spirit, you blow up. But when you have both, you grow up. Be sensitive to this person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Here's a very good tip. When God does speak, and when God does speak, and even when he doesn't speak, but you've read the word, keep a journal daily. Keep a notepad. I use an old diary, and you know, it's 1990-something. It didn't put much in it, and someone gave it to me, and that's great. But I use it. I use it as a journal. When God speaks to me, I use it. Why do I do that? Because when occasions when I go through a dry season and I'm not getting much and I'm not hearing much from God, I go into my journal and remind myself of what God said in the past. Amen. It blesses me again and again and again. But if I don't keep a journal, I can't do that. Keep a journal. It's a discipline to write it down, a real discipline. Be obedient, because the moment you disobey God in what God has said, God will stop speaking. So be obedient. Have a systematic reading plan. I recommend one today, and that is Cover to Cover by Selwyn Hughes. There are others. But if you're serious with God, get into good systematic reading plan. And finally, as we conclude, give the best time of your day. Amen. May we cherish the Word. Amen. May we feed upon it, eat it, drink it, eat it, study it. May we know it. May the Spirit of God help us and lead us. For those of you who don't know the Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will bring you to a place of knowing the Word and knowing God's so great salvation, because these Holy Scriptures taught Timothy what? God's salvation. And the Bible can teach you God's salvation. Let's stand, please.